Our first reading is found in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with the first verse. Come, everybody who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out of joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans, beginning in the 7th verse. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit of life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God.
Father, we know that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder bone and marrow. God, we also know that Your word is life-giving. Your word is truth. Your word is also comforting. God, may your word not return to you void this morning, but accomplish that which you please. Also bless the few sheets of paper that I have before me, Lord. They are written with a human hand. I pray that you will add to it your flesh and blood, that will reach the hearts and minds of your people as words of comfort and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For some reason it sounds a little loud to me, so please bear with me. And if the Spirit gets a hold of me and I speak a little louder than I should, just bear with me, okay? As I said before, the message I'm bringing you to this morning is based on the gospel reading, the parable about the seed and the sower. And you might have noticed that Jesus is a master communicator. He was a teacher, rabbi they called him. He was able to connect to the people in a language they understood. They were farmers, they were agriculturists, and so he had to use a language that got to the heart of the matter. And so the parable of the seed and the sower hit right home. Now don't be saying, woohoo, so it don't apply to us. We'll find out in the next couple of minutes how these words make sense to us, how this parable applies to us. Although this parable is about seeds and sowing, it is actually a parable about listening. Have you ever wondered, have you been amazed about how people come to church for years and years, but they never change? They go out no better than they came in. And yet at the same time, there are people who come to the same church maybe once or maybe even twice, and their lives are changed forever. What about you, my friends? How long have you been coming to church? Maybe you're saying, I'm a proud member for this 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Great. What has it done for you? Have you become a follower of Christ? Or is Christ following you? How long do you want him to follow you? You might have heard this before, but you cannot fight a full-time devil by being a part-time Christian. I don't want you to feel that I'm beating you up. But the truth is that there are many in church today that have become complacent. If you ask the Baptists, they will tell you who is going up and who is going down. You're supposed to laugh for that. Yeah? They're the only ones who are going up to heaven, right? But the truth is, not everyone in church really knows the Lord. They know of the Lord, but they do not know the Lord. And let me give you an illustration. Long time ago, just like we've done today, people gathered in the church to worship God when suddenly Satan himself ran through the doors, trampling on each other, and then people were trying to get out of the building. Very soon, everyone were gone, including the priest. But one man sat in the pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that the ultimate enemy was in his presence. This confused Satan a little bit, and so he walked up to the man and said, "Don't you know who I am?" And the man calmly said, "I sure do." Now Satan got a little more confused, and he said, "Aren't you afraid of me?" "No, not at all," said the man. "Why aren't you afraid of me?" Satan asked. The man calmly replied, "I've been married for the last 30 years. Did Did you notice that even sometimes Satan is confused as to who is on the side of the Lord and who's on the side of him? Today's parable is really a salvation story, and using the metaphor and the seeds, there are various types of ground. The seeds are always good, by the way. The problem is with the ground. God is the sower, the seed is his word, and the ground is our souls, our bodies, our minds. There are four scenarios in today's parable. In the first scenario, the ground is very hard. It is like people who do not want anything to do with Jesus. And I just want to illustrate that, if you can put that flip-flop on the overhead screen, if you don't mind. Some people want nothing to do with Jesus. Y'all see that? Look at it closely. What goes through your mind? Beautiful pair of flip-flops, right? Must be some Christian organization trying to promote Christ. Well, that was by a friend from India. A group of people, staunch Hindus, made that flip-flop. You know why? So they can trample Christ under their feet. Those are the hard-hearted people referred to in that first scenario of the parable. And I'm sure there is nobody like that here this morning, so we're not going to deal with that first scenario. And then in the fourth scenario, the seeds grow, the seeds flourish, and it yields a bountiful crop. It says 30, 60, or even 100-fold. These are people who are totally surrendered to the Lord. These are people who do not need my help. Therefore, I'm not going to talk about that group either this morning. So our focus is going to be on group two and on group three. And all of us, the majority of us, are going to fall into these two groups. And those two groups are described in verse 20 to 22. If you can put that up on the screen, please, Matthew 20 to 22. If you can actually put the words up. Yep, it's so small. But I'm going to read, and please read along with me in your heart at least. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. So many of us. But since they don't have deep roots, they do not last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, persecution is, don't take that too far. Don't think someone has to beat you with clubs and swords to be persecuted. But even if your co-worker puts you down for what you believe, that is persecution. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit produced. I'm sure you'll agree with me that it is a bad idea to go and try to plant seed in rocky soil. Nobody does that. The rocks make it impossible for the plants to throw deep roots. Therefore, the faith is very shallow. This kind represents people who come to church for the show. Long time ago, when I was a pastor in a church, Methodist church up in New Jersey, there was a guy who used to come and sing before the service started. I never told him, but we all knew he couldn't sing for nuts. Couldn't. But he had to sing. Now, the moment we asked if someone said, don't sing, he would have probably left the church. So people like that come for the show. If they are find importance in the church, either to usher, either to read a word or do something or play music, that's why they are there. The seed of the gospel is willingly received, but they do not take root because they are there for a different reason. And there's another example of many people who come to the faith only when there is a need. Somebody is in the hospital, somebody is sick, some kind of emergency, whatever that might be. Everybody go down on their knees and pray to the Lord. Lord, please hear my prayer. And if you do, I'll do this, that, and everything else. But once the need is met, that kind of faith disappears. I'm sure you know many who are like that. They are good people, but God and church is only reserved for Sunday morning. You know people like that, don't you? Afraid, embarrassed to share their faith. That's the second type, okay? Now here's the third type. The third type that Jesus spoke of was the thorny and weedy soil, representing those who have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You know people like that? They want the best of both worlds. So one foot is in the church and one is in the world. When it suits your convenience, I'm on the side of the Lord. When it don't suit my convenience, if the cashier misses to ring up something, then I'm in the world. But if I've got a problem and the cop has pulled me over for a ticket, then I'm in the church. It starts out well, but spiritual neglect has allowed the thorns and the weeds to take over. There are too many men in this world who vigorously pursue their careers and wealth and prosperity, allowing their spiritual life to take a back seat. In other words, the pleasures of the world are prioritized. They take precedence over the things of the Lord. And friends, Satan wants us to be more attached to things rather than the creator of all things. See the difference? He wants you to be attached to things, not the creator of all things. And yet the Bible tells us, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. And what is it going to say? Then everything else will be added unto you. You see the priority? When you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added to you. But a lot of people want the everything else first before they seek the kingdom of God. And if you don't get the everything else, then somehow God isn't God. But does all of this mean that God has given up on us? Maybe you are asking, well, we know we are all bad. We know we have done this, that, and everything else. So has God washed his hands clean? Has he given up? I realize you're a church folk, and maybe you're saying, how come you're trying to save us? How come you're trying to save us? You should be saying that to somebody else. Friend, I don't know about you, but certainly for me, I need God's mercy and grace every single day. God's word says, my mercies are new every morning. Why do you think he says that? He doesn't want you to live on yesterday's mercies. The people who are walking through the wilderness in that exodus from Egypt, they got fresh manna every day. God wants to give you a fresh anointing, a fresh blessing, fresh mercies every day. The moment we think we are all fine, we don't need the Lord, we're going the wrong way. I pray for new mercies every morning. I don't care how faithful you are, my friend. Every one of us have the propensity to fall. The best of preachers, you might have seen on TV and all over the newspapers over the years, have fallen to things like adultery. What about the TV evangelists? Now, I'm not bringing the whole world down, but this is the truth. What about all of those people, all on those private jets, this, that, everything, amassing wealth, mansions here, mansions there? Just when everything seems to be going well for us. We are in this lovely relationship with the Lord. Then here comes the devil. He comes along with a beautiful girl in his arm. And then he'll put, or a man, around your shoulder. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. If it's not that, he doesn't matter how he gets you, he wants to pull you down. Paul said it very well in Romans, and if you can put that up, please. And this is just to illustrate the fact that even God's anointed can so easily fall. And here's what Paul says, and this is exactly his words. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I end up doing it anyway. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the one side, we want the Lord, but on the other side, our hearts are drawn away and hardened by many things. Friend, let us not pretend every one of us need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But is he yours? Is he your master? Is he your king? Church membership is not going to get us to heaven. Self-righteousness will not get us to heaven. But repentance will. Repentance, by the way, is not a detour of a certain kind of a lifestyle. It is actually a U-turn. It's a U-turn towards everlasting life. As I previously said, you cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and then expect to be caught up to heaven when the time comes. You and I cannot get to the holy city unless the seed of faith has taken root in your body, in your soul, and the roots have gone deep down. Oh, wretched man and woman that I am, how can we save ourselves from all our sin? But thank God for his goodness and grace that every time we fall, he is there to lift us up. Our hearts are naturally drawn towards sin. That's, we were conceived in sin, King David said. We were conceived in our mother's womb in sin. We have no ability whatsoever to save ourselves. No amount of money in the world can save ourselves. And here's the central aspect of this parable. Even though Jesus knows that some of the seeds will never germinate and never grow, he still continues to cast seed. He still chooses to reach out to us by trying to plant seed. And then he sows throughout the various seasons of our life. He might have done it to you when you were in elementary school. He might have done it to you while you went away to college. He might have done it to you in the latter part of your years. To the woman, he came to her when she was by the well. Least expected, unexpected. To Nicodemus, he came to him by night. To Zacchaeus, he came to him when he was up upon a tree. And maybe he's coming to you at today morning's worship service. Friend, if you feel that the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, I do not want you to allow this opportunity to slip by. Maybe you're saying, I am the one who represents that rocky soil who never really took the Lord or my faith very seriously. Or maybe you're saying, I am the one who has allowed the thorns or the weeds to creep in and invade my soul. Either way, my friend, there is still hope. There is hope because the doors are still open.
Jesus said, he or she who comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Wow. That's a lot of hope. So there is room at the cross for you, my friends. And if you are uncertain about your relationship with the Lord, there's room at the cross for you as well. Millions have come to the Lord throughout the generations, and today it could be you. Friend, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad your past is, it's unimportant. Because God is in the business of creating and making all things new. God is visiting a new heaven and a new earth. He wants to create a new you. He might even be creating a new church just for him. And as unworthy as you may feel, God wants you to be in this plan. God wants you to be part of his kingdom. He wants to see you in that holy city, New Jerusalem. What a shame, what a waste of time it would be if you came, or I came to church for 10, 15, or 20 years, and then we didn't make it to the holy city. Do you want to be there, my friends? You can. Some of you look so sorrowful. Christianity is the only airline, that takes you to heaven first class, free. But you can't take any baggage. You may not see it with your physical eyes, but I hope you're able to see it with your eyes of faith. People of the world want to see to believe, but people of faith first see and then first believe and then they see. Friend, there is also room for you at this rail. There's room at the cross, but there's also room for you at this rail. Never mind what others may think. Don't talk yourself out of a blessing by saying, well, I'm not good enough. And maybe that is true. We all feel unworthy. You may not be where you want to be, but thank the Lord that you are not what you used to be. See how far you have come. It's just a little while longer. A day is coming, and I believe it is not far away, when the Lord is going to separate the sheep from the goats. You'll know that, right? God doesn't want your money, my friends. He wants your heart. We're living in the last days. The world around us appears to be in disarray. Terrorism rises. Violence is rampant. Innocent people are suffering, and the future of the average person looks so bleak. But through the darkness of despair, I hope and pray that you can hear the voice of God calling. He's calling you to a new hope, and he's calling you to a new kingdom. People are always, all through the years, I've seen how people want to delay repentance. One day, I'm going to all up and turn over to the Lord. One day, I'm going to read the Bible. One day, I'm going to pray more. Clock strikes 12, but unfortunately, many of these people are going to die at 11:30. Yep. Friend, if you feel that God has spoken to you this morning, you may come up quietly during the next song and rededicate your life to Christ. I want you to know, though, you're not doing this for me. I get nothing out of it. I get a lot of joy to know that we're gathering together a family. We're not going up now, by the way. I'm not getting a team to go up, but we are gathering a family. Many, look around and you see many of these faces that you see are the ones you're going to spend eternity with. Wouldn't it be nice that no one is missed out over here? Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says, if you don't mind putting it up, what does it say? And this is the words of Jesus himself. I'm not cooking it up or cooking the books. It says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. The Lord came to this world to give you and me a gift. A gift of everlasting life. As I said before, he wants to recreate you. He wants to make you new. He wants to heal you in mind, body, and spirit. And most of all, he wants to see you in his holy city, New Jerusalem. That is his desire. But the choice is yours. And in case you didn't know, the Savior and the healer are one and the same person. If you need healing, you can also come to the rail. The rail is open and the Lord is here. You may come when you're ready, my friends. You may kneel quietly and make peace with the Lord and then receive his blessings. It's a matter between you and Almighty God. And while you are here, I will also pray for you and anoint you with oil if you so desire. You may come when you're ready.